The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
BECU presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers, so I know how this stuff works. Peach!
Yeah, that's right. Todd Peach from BECU.org. And man, if you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, guess what? You get to be a member of BECU, a fine credit union. And it's a member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperative. And that's why it's cool. All this bank stuff that's going down. And Todd, maybe you could speak to this a little bit, because people are getting a little nervous because we had a couple of banks fail who, you know, in my lifetime, you just don't think about that. Like, how does a bank fail? They got all my money. And, you know, and with that, that happens, and where does like a BECU stand when stuff like that happens? Like, you know, it just because people get a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, BJ.
Hold on, Todd. We're having a hard time with you for some reason. You're going in.
I don't know what happened. That's strange.
But anyway, Danny's fault. It's always Danny's fault.
As you said, we're not a not-for-profit owned credit union, so we work for the membership and we do things strictly for the membership. That means we're not going to take undue risks and do things that are just to make money, right? It's not about making money. It's about serving the member and returning as much to the member as we can. In the case of some of these banks, they were, you know, highly concentrated in, you know, with accounts that had multi-million dollars of deposits each one. In BEC's case, we have 1.4 million members. So our money is really spread out. So we don't have to worry about a run on, you know, if one account closes or needs their money or whatever, we can handle that. In the case of some of these banks, that the Silicon Valley's particular, you know, they had a high concentration of tech accounts, of business accounts, and they needed the money for one reason or another. And it just kind of created a run on the bank, if you will, and all the deposits kind of left in a very short period of time.
Oh, that's a bit of a beating when people go, hey, listen, yeah, we want all our money now. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I look back just to 2007, 2008 and WaMu, right? What happened there? We didn't think that would happen either. That was a local bank. But again, undue risk, taking risks that, you know, to make money, and it backfired on them with expansion and investments and everything else. So BECU, we're safe, sound. You don't have to worry about that. We don't take those risks because we're not here to necessarily like maximize profits. It's about how can we return the most to the membership.
And that's that's why, you know, BECU being a financial cooperative, and that's why Todd is here. Another thing that they provide is a lot of free info, and Todd comes on the show to even answer questions for people who aren't members. 206-803-ROCK, that's the number to call. That's the number to text if you have a question for Todd from BECU.
And Todd, you'd be proud of me now that the Kraken are out of the playoffs. I'm not impulsively buying random Kraken merchandise.
Now it's on sale, Steve. This is when you want it, right?
Okay, maybe I should start buying more. Thanks, Todd.
This is when you want to buy it, right? Nobody else wants it.
Todd's going to be proud of me, and now he's like, spend, Steve, spend.
Here's the problem, Todd. He's right now, this is not the shiny thing he's doing anymore because the hockey season's over, but I got three letters for you, ASG. The closer and closer we get to the All-Star game, and the Mariners have some sweet All-Star merch, you see, Steve is going to get hooked back into buying merchandise again.
That could be. Well, also, I saw the Seahawks have a 65% off a lot of the stuff in their team store.
There you go. All right.
So I got to go online, Simply Seattle. I'm going to get myself some Kraken gear.
Yeah, this is what I'm in.
Wow. That's good to know that. See, because of these conversations, I now know what I can buy and what I shouldn't buy, BJ.
Yeah, this is why you always go to clearance sales. You'll see Todd probably going to all the stores at the end of the seasons just to be able to get all that. Like, you know, and maybe in a couple of months, Todd's going to be happy getting all the summer stuff when the school stuff is coming out.
That's right.
He knows what's up.
We have a text that somebody wants some advice. Do you recommend paying off your lowest debt balance or the highest interest rate first, Todd?
I'm always the highest interest rate first. I mean, I know the debt snowball and pay the smallest one so you can, you know, you're making progress, right? So you show like, oh, I paid this one off, so you don't give up. But if you're motivated and pay the highest interest rate off, that's where the most interest is going. And just stick to your plan and you'll get there faster than paying the smaller interest rate, right? Because you're going to be paying that much more interest as you go along. So pay the highest interest rate, stay motivated, stick to your plan. You'll come out way ahead in the end.
206-803-ROCK, that's the number to call, that's the number to text. We're talking to Todd Peach from BECU.org.
So I have a question about saving for my two boys' future. One is three, the other is 3-month-old. My parents and grandparents want to give them money each year for their birthday. My grandma used to do a savings bond, but trying to catch them kind of sucks. Is there a better option for them?
I'm a big fan of 529s and the savings accounts. Go to savingforcollege.com.
We lost you again, Todd. And there he goes.
Go to savingforcollege.com.
Todd, you may not know, but we can't hear you. So we have maybe you just give us a call. And he's still talking. But
this is awesome.
I don't think he realized. Can he not hear me say that I can't hear him? Todd is back on. All right, Todd. We caught nothing of what you were saying. If you
we last heard, go to 529 and save for college something.
Because the lady wants to help her kids. She's got two little kids.
So I'm back up a little bit here. So I'm a big fan of 529. So what these are, you put money into the account and it can be used for college, secondary education, just a lot of different things. Go to savingforcollege.com. You're going to put that money in. It's going to grow. You're going to invest it. And if they're, I think, 3 months and 3 years, we're going to be pretty aggressive. So in 15, 20 years, when we need that money, all that money is going to be tax-free. So you don't get a tax break today, but it's going to grow tax-free if you use it for post-secondary education, which includes trade schools, and it can even include, you know, other like, oh, when they get into, if you want to do private school later on, I suppose it might be good for that as well.
Okay, any type of continuing education usually will work with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like I hear the argument, well, what if my kids don't go to school? Well, that's okay. If they don't for some reason, number one, you can change the beneficiary. So you could change it to a grandkid someday if you wanted to.
Oh, that's nice.
Secondary, you can withdraw that money. I think there's some new rules coming out. I think you have to wait about 15 years, but there are ways to get access to that money without the penalty, as well. So it's fairly low risk, on that end of it, and the money's going to grow tax free for you. And I'm a big fan of taking the gifts from the grandparents. And
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever, and throw them into that account. I mean, we all, you know, get things when we're 3 months old, 3 years old, that kind of come and go. And this is something that's going to really help that child immensely with the, you know, expensive secondary education, whether it's college, trade school, etc., down the road.
Todd, do you know if that counts towards the amount of money you're allowed to gift your kid? Like, you know, I guess each parent can gift their kid like, mm-hmm. I think, $14,000 or $15,000 or something like that. So if you took $14,000, $15,000 and put it into that account in the 529, does that count as a gift you're giving the kid?
No, this is outside of that BJ.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The limits are much higher on contributions to 529. So
that doesn't add up towards that whole rule. So you can still give an extra 15 just in general without doing it. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, now if it's coming from a grandparent to the child, I mean, there is, I mean, I don't know, gifts. I suppose if they put the money right into that account, it would, you know, circumvent that. Those are details. If you're talking about putting in, you know, $20,000 a year, $15,000 a year, you know, let me know and we'll look into that a little bit. But if you're just talking about gifts of, you know, $50, $100, $200, $300 here, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, and of course, always talk to an accountant. They always know what's up when you're talking about big dough like that.
Yeah, but but contribution limits to 529s are much higher.
Nice.
Than. Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of unlimited, you know, but, you know, I mean, you know, you're only going to need few hundred, you know, I don't know what college is going to be like in 15 years, and it's going to be much higher than it is today, right? But if you can start saving for today, that money will grow tax-free, and then you'll be in a much better position in that 15, 20 years when you need it.
We're talking to Todd Peach from BECU.org, and if you got a question for Todd, 206-803-ROCK, that's the number to call, that is the number to text.
So I just texted in saying, Todd, I'm set to receive 2 years of back pay due to winning an arbitration for being erroneously terminated. Can you provide some guidance? Thank you. Always enjoy your segment. From AD.
Well, I mean, I guess we go back to where we always talk about, right? Do we have that emergency fund sitting there? If so, then let's start with our debt, with the highest interest rate we talked about earlier in the show. Highest interest rate first. Let's get some debt paid down. And then when we get that taken care of, let's look at retirement and our other goals. So first step is that emergency fund. Make sure we can handle anything unexpected, and then let's get out of debt.
So, Todd, let me ask you this. It's definitely a different world we're living in, that the interest rates are up. A lot of people now, including my own, you know, like banks are calling people asking, hey, would you like to get a CD? Because, hey, we can give you a great return, like 5%. Mm-hmm. It used to be CDs were just don't even bother. And, of course, your normal savings account mm-hmm. don't even bother. So where does that fit in the world, Todd? You have your retirement account, like you said. You got to pay down your debt. Mm-hmm. When does a person go, maybe a CD right now with these interest rates being as high as they are, maybe they're right for me? What are you telling people about that?
Well, I mean, I think if you have an emergency fund, there's no reason why you can't put some of that into a CD. I mean, most of us, you should, you know, have at least 3 to 6 months in an emergency fund of your expenses. So if you were to get laid off like this individual did a couple of years ago or whenever that was, that you have that money, you don't have to worry about, you know, how you're going to pay the mortgage or the rent or food and et cetera. So 3 to 6 months emergency fund, you can put some of that into a CD if you wanted to. You could do, you know, part of that. I mean, you can get your money out of the CD. It is liquid. Yeah, you just have to forgive a few months of interest sometimes to pay that penalty, but it's not the end of the world.
Okay.
So CD is certainly an option. It's not like you're guaranteed the money. It's insured. It's not going down. You're not going to lose principal. Worst case, you might just lose a few months of interest if you have to cash it in early.
It's pretty crazy because that's pretty much what they tell you with the stock market over the years. You're lucky if you get 5% return. That's kind of what you look for over the, you know, 30, 40 years you invest. And now CDs, that's what they are. They're up like at 5% or even more in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, stock returns 8 to 10% on historical, on average, is what you should get with reinvesting dividends. So CDs are going to be on long term. It's not like I wouldn't consider it a long term retirement investment. It can be a part of your portfolio, BJ, but I wouldn't put everything in CDs for retirement, for example.
Yeah, I do like the fact, though, that you're saying that we can just take our emergency fund, throw it in there, and who doesn't want to earn 5% where normally you'd earn nothing just in a regular savings account? That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just go back, a year and a half? We were talking like nothing, right? So yeah. Things have changed. So money markets, CDs, those are good options for your short-term cash or emergency funds, or maybe you're saving for a house or saving for a car, or maybe you're 2 year goal is to a home. Well, go ahead and put that into a 1 or 2 year CD, and then you'll make a little bit of money as you march forward to that goal.
Yeah, it seems, Todd, you know, before people weren't worried about getting down payments. But boy, now when it comes to buying a house, it feels like because the interest rates are high and you can't get as much house as you used to, it feels like everybody now is thinking, I need to save for that down payment. I just need to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back, BJ. I mean, when I bought my house, interest rates were 9.9%.
Woo!
So, wow. And you were probably in that similar thing, right? So I still go back to the, you know, when it, you know, absolutely, if you can come up with 20% down, do it, right? I put 5% down on my house and was fortunate, you know, things went up and I was able to refinance when interest rates went down, you know, several years later. And so I still get back to it's when you're in the position to buy the house, that's when you should be looking to do that. We don't know what interest rates are going to do. We don't know what home prices are going to do. But a house should be a long-term investment for you and a place to live versus paying rent. So once you're in that solid foundation, you know where you're going. You're going to live in the house for a long period of time and you can afford it. I've always been in that camp, and now's the time to do it.
So it sounds like you're not a fan of that phrase starter house. You hear a lot of people go, oh, this is just our starter house. It's like, you're saying,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm always a fan of buying the right location, BJ. So it's in, you know, find out where you want to live, the neighborhood, the schools, and, you know, find the cheapest house in that neighborhood is probably my best advice. You know, where you want to go, and does it have to be at 3,500, 4,000, 5,000 square foot? Probably not. You probably get by with much smaller than that. But, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know too many people. There's some, I guess, starter house. I mean, if you're single and then you get married, then you go on to something else. But not sure what a starter house is.
If you did not get through to Todd from BECU, you can always go to KISW.com, scroll down on the webpage, and you'll see the banner with Todd's smiling face, and he'll answer whatever emails you have, whatever he can. And don't forget, man, BECU is a great place to do your banking, and if you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, that's all you got to do to be part of BECU.org. Todd, thank you for being with us, buddy.
Thanks, BJ. Much appreciated.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.